Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest the majority leader of the Rhode Island Senate, Dominic Ruggiero. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ian, and thank you very much for inviting me.
The state Senate passed Governor Gina Raimondo's truck toll plan last June, but critics continue to say the proposal has too much borrowing and is marked by unanswered questions. Majority Leader, was the Senate too hasty in passing the governor's bridge improvement plan?
I don't believe so, Ian. We've vetted that bill. We've taken a look at that bill. We had meetings with Department of Transportation officials. Members were allowed to ask questions. We had three hearings from, to the best of my recollection, in the Senate Finance Committee, and we just felt there was a sense of immediacy as far as the road construction because of everything that was happening with our bridges and our roads. We had one bridge that was closed in Cranston, and many other bridges have been declared deficient. So we feel that time is of the essence. As far as our road construction program, I didn't feel that we had to wait another year in order to pass this. We felt it was thoroughly vetted through not only our Senate Finance Committee, but also on the floor of the Senate.
Scott, DOT has put out some different figures for how much it would cost to overhaul the Henderson Bridge in East Providence, for example, a small percentage overall of the governor's plan, but still different figures. Has this plan been properly vetted in your view?
I think the Senate did some due diligence, but I will say the governor's approach to this hasn't been so great. They threw a plan at the legislature with only 6 weeks to go, really, in the session. Then they changed it again, and now we're hearing other things. I do agree with Leader Ruggiero that there is an urgency here. It would be nice if there was a compromise that could come out with a hybrid, something from the industry, maybe an increase in the diesel tax, along with the tolls.
Actually, I disagree. I mean, I think that you can't know everything, and I think we've gone beyond the point of reasonableness when it comes to this plan. I think it's fortunate that it'll go back to the legislature. I think there's some tweaking that should be done, particularly in the role of the Department of Transportation and their responsibility, and you might want to come up with a compromise in that regard. But this has gone on much too long. We can't know where all the tolling things are going to be. This is completely unrealistic, and I think we have to get off the dime and pass a bill.
Rhode Island ranked fifth in a national survey on government ethics and accountability, although the state's D-plus grade was not exactly a badge of honor. The Center for Public Integrity gave Rhode Island low marks for the state budget process, electoral oversight, and internal auditing. Maureen, what do you think should be done to improve ethics and accountability in state government?
Well, first I have to say, in this particular study, we came out in the top five. So they might want to say something about the study per se. I think we've moved along. I think things are getting much, much better. I'm happy that people's expectations are that there has to be more transparency and accountability. But as I say, relative to other states, we're doing pretty well. So I don't know what that tells you.
Leader Ruggiero, as the one of the top figures in the Senate, what do you think should be done to improve confidence in state government?
Well, Ian, I think we passed legislation last year that would deal with the ethics issue, the so-called Irons decision that was in court. Unfortunately, the House did not pass that legislation, but I thought that was a step in the right direction.
Let me just stop you there for a second, because some people with an interest in the issue, like Common Cause of Rhode Island, felt that that particular legislation was not a particularly good version. There are different opinions about this. Do you think we will see forward motion on ethics commission legislation in the new session?
I think you'll see something very similar to what we passed previously. I think a Common Cause's main objection was the de novo process where you would have a new trial when you went before the ethics commission. We did not feel that was a deal killer. We thought that was in the interest of fairness, that was fair. However, you have to keep in mind that when issues are discussed on the floor in the speech and debate context, there has to be some protections for those individuals who have to have the right to say whatever they feel is appropriate in order to represent their constituents. So there has to be a balance in that particular arena, and we're hoping that our legislation provided that.
Scott, what do you think should be done to improve ethics and accountability in Rhode Island?
Let's be honest. Common Cause has the same vested interest in labeling politicians corrupt as the church does in sin. So you have to realize that, first of all, what I'd like to see is better enforcement of the campaign finance rules. It'd be great if there were random audits, like the IRS does, of campaign finance. And also, let's not be unrealistic here. The voters have to be more engaged. No ethics law that you pass is going to protect you from things that Gordon Fox did. Greed, unfortunately, is endemic, you know, in human behavior and political behavior. And I think the voters just have to get off their duffs, turn out to vote, and really scrutinize the candidates. That would help a lot.
Our guest, Senate Majority Leader Dominic Ruggiero, helped assemble a tax incentive plan meant to stimulate development on the former I-195 district. Baltimore-based Wexford Science and Technology is considering creating a life sciences park in the district, yet there's been very little other interest expressed in the area. Majority Leader, what do you think needs to be done to actually realize the potential that's been described for the 195 area as an economic catalyst?
I think what initially had to be done, Ian, is that you needed a definitive process by which developers can rely on what they're going to be receiving when they come into the city of Providence. That was done by getting a ordinance that addressed the tax stabilization agreements and how they would be meted out to the various developers that come in. And I was a little displeased because I felt things should have happened a little more rapidly once we did the 195 commission, once we got a budget, which was in year two. And I felt that the council and the administration in Providence should have acted a little more quickly. Obviously, what was happening at that time, the mayor was running for governor. There was a new mayoral election. The council people had races, and it didn't fall within a good time aspect. So what I had, what we really had to look at is put something together legislatively. What I describe as rapid time compared to what normally happens. So within a 4-week period, we were able to put together a tax stabilization agreement where developers can come in. They have a sense of predictability as far as what the city is going to be offering, and we put some other things into the ordinance that I think will be very helpful for the city of Providence.
Scott, as the majority leader says, there is a more predictable process now, but we're not seeing a rush of development proposals. What is your explanation?
Well, I think that you have to be patient, and people don't like that. But I look at Newport. After the Atlantic Navy fleet left Newport, boy, anybody who showed up with $1.98, the city of Newport let them invest, build a hotel on the waterfront, whatever they wanted, no parking, and the result is a summer-long traffic jam in Newport. So I think we need real scrutiny. This is prime land in Providence. We need to be patient and wait for the right development to come along.
And the last word here to Maureen.
I'm optimistic that they're going to move along now. First of all, a big barrier was the question about the ballpark. Now that that's off the table, and it looks like Wexford is going to commit, what I expect is that'll be the anchor. And now that these other stabilization issues have been taken care of, I'm optimistic this is going to move along, and we're going to have a wonderful development on the river.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Senate Majority Leader Dominic Ruggiero.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me again, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. If you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.